All right, Jabal, say good morning. Let us begin with a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Begin by thanking our sponsors, Steve and Terry Zinn. Our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, in the memory of their parents, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yosef HaKohen, Yentl Mendel Bas David Halevi, Bunim Tzvi ben Chaim, and Devora Bas Yisrael Yoel. We also thank our week of learning sponsors, Zevin Isabel Greiner, for dedicating the Shiurim, the Sikkim memory of Isabel's father, David Levine, David ben Yitzchak Eli Halevi, Zichron Olivracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the family is in the Chaman Abbas. So with that, let us begin. So today's daf is Mem Hei 45. We are picking up on Mem Dalet Amud Beis 44b at the first wide line. So if you remember again, the Gemara spoke about an interesting case, that if someone left their Tchum with Rishos. Now Rishos, of course, being defined, Mishnah explains, person goes to go ahead and give a testimony for Kiddush HaChodesh, or a person is a midwife, or a person is going out to battle to help Jews, anything that has a sanctioned reason, and they end up leaving their tchum. So the Mishnah said, the lashon of the Mishnah was, that if they are within their tchum, it's as if they never left. So meaning, if it turns out that the mission is done, and they're still in their tchum, it's like they never left. So we have machlokes what that statement means. Rabba says what it means is, literally, if, let's say again, Reuven sets out to give Kiddush HaChodesh, he sets out to give testimony about the new moon, and he's still within the tchum of his home, and he hears that, again, testimony has already been accepted, then halacha lemaisa is as if he never left his tchum. You'll say, what's the chiddush, what's the novelty in that? So the novelty in that, according to Rabba, is you might have thought that once he set out to leave his tchum, he has lost his tchum. Kamash malon, that if it turns out that the mission is accomplished and he doesn't need to leave his tchum and he's still within his original tchum, he still has his original tchum. Rav Simi bar Chiya, Amar Hachi. He said as follows, Hachi Kamar, this is what the mission means to say. Im hayu tchum shenasal chachamim muvloin, besocha tchum shalom, keilu lo yata mitchumo. So what Simi bar Chiya says, no, what it means is as follows, that if Reuven set out to give testimony regarding the new moon, and it turns out that he leaves, and he left his tchum. So remember again, what's the halacha? Once you leave your tchum, so the Mishnah seemed to indicate that Chazal gave you a brand new tchum. They gave you a new tchum, right? So at the end of the day, if they gave you a new tchum, then Rav Simi bar Chiya says, if it turns out that your new tchum overlaps with your old tchum, that you are permitted to go back and reuse your old tchum as well. The Machamithicus was, what are they arguing about? Mar Sabra have lost tchum in Milsihi. So one opinion, and this is Rav Simi bar Chiya, holds that when tchumin are literally absorbed into one another, they become one big tchum. So remember, what Rav Simi bar Chiya is saying is as follows. So imagine the following situation. Reuven lives in city A, and he sees the new moon. He sets out to the Beis Hanagod, to the High Court in Yerushalayim, to go ahead and give testimony. He sets out. He leaves the tchum of his city. He then finds out, oh, Beis Din already declared the new month. So we'll say, what happens to him now? Reuven is now awarded a new tchum, a new 2,000 amos in every direction, where he is at the moment that he finds out this news. What the Simi bar Chiya is saying is, if the new tchum overlaps with the old tchum, so in other words, as he's within 2,000 amos of his old tchum, then halacha lemaisa, that will allow him to go back in and to re-access his old tchum. His old tchum. So the Gemara says, what does this tell you? That the Simi bar Chiya holds havlos tchum and milsihi, that when one tchum overlaps with another tchum, it becomes one big tchum. One big tchum. Or more appropriately said, that when one tchum overlaps with another tchum, that allows you access to the first tchum as well. So the Gemara says, Umar Sabar, whereas the other opinion, apparently Rabba holds, that what? Lav Milsi, that just because tchumen overlap does not give you the ability to reutilize that first tchum. Just because the first tchum, or I should say the second new tchum, overlaps with the first old tchum, that does not allow you access back into the first old tchum. I'm going to buy the Rabba. Vat lo tizba davlas tchumen milsi. Sabai says, Rabba, really? You hold that overlapping tchumen doesn't give you access to the first tchum. So the Gemara says, "Uma ilu shavas b'ma'ara shebisocho arbaas alafim va'agaga pachos me'arbaas alafim." Supposed to imagine the following situation. You actually have a picture over here in Rashi. Imagine you have a subterranean cave, and in the underground part of that cave, you have an area of 4,000 amas. And there are two exits or two entries from that cave, or two exits from the cave, into the upper, into the world, right? Into the two exits from the subterranean cave into the earth above. And what happens? So we'll say, if you can imagine, the entranceway of the cave is a bit more narrow than the outer part of the cave. And therefore, again, the entranceways are, in fact, less than 2,000 amas from each other. So the Gemara says, so ma yidu shavas b'ma'ar shebesoch arbas halofin. Imagine you established your makom shvisa, your Shabbos domicile, in a cave that has an inner area of 4,000 amas, va'al gago, but its rooftop, or its rooftop literally means, again, right, what's the name for it? Not the earth, what do you call that? I guess the earth. Okay, you know what I mean? It's an underground cave, the above-ground parts, right? The above-ground entrances of the cave, two, one on each side of the cave, but the walls are slanted, are less than 4,000 amos from each other. Lo nimtza mahalich eskula v'chutz la'apayim ama. They will say, everybody would agree that halacha l'maisa, you are permitted to walk from one entrance of the cave to the other entrance of the cave, and furthermore, again, you would have 2,000 amas in every direction of the cave. Now, again, Abai says, Rabba, you agree with that, right? They both say, now, how does that work? It must work because the two entranceways of the cave are less than 4,000 amas. And therefore, again, this is a case of overlapping tchumen. And when you have overlapping tchumen, you could access both of the tchumen. So Abai says, Rabba, you do hold of overlapping tchumen. So the Gemara, so Amrlei, so Rabba says, "V'lo shani lacha ben heichad the Shabbos ba'aver mechizas mi ba'od yom leheichad the lo Shabbos ar mechizim ba'od yom." So Rabba says to Abaye, that's not a fair comparison. You're talking about a case over here where a person established a domicile on Erev Shabbos, right? So on Erev Shabbos already, the person was inside of the cave. So if the person was inside of the cave, naturally established his domicile, then yes, the entire 4,000 internal Amma area of the cave is his Makum Shvisa, and that's why he could access both exits. To which the Gemara says, "V'heicha de lo shavas lo." So Rabbi, are you trying to say that the only time overlapping Tchumen work is when you establish the domicile on Erev Shabbos? But if you establish the domicile on Shabbos, it would not work. Top of Memhe, Vatnan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shtayim Yikanis, Gimel Lo Yikanis. So we'll say, we mentioned this in yesterday's daf. Rabbi Eliezer has an interesting shita. He holds that halacha l'maaseh, so let's just keep a simple case like Rashi does. If somebody wanders out of their tchum, you wander out of your tchum, if you are within two amos of your tchum, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can walk back in. That's what it means. Shtayim yikanis, if you wander two amos out of your tchum, you could go back in. Gimel lo yikanis. But if you wander three amos out of your tchum, you may not go back in. Abbas, remember again, this is where this came up yesterday with the human mechitzas. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, V'hatinan Rabbi Eliezer omer mishia tuchos l'tchum shtay amos yikanis. Aval gimel lo yikanis. My high shiura dinakit la Rabbi Eliezer l'tamei d'am b'mas nisin kabe dalar amas shenas nu chachamim liotzei chutz l'tchum duhu be'emtzon. Now we'll say, now b'pashtos, the way the Gemara understands this is very interesting. A person always has dalar amas. Right? But also remember again, even in the case where you wander out of your tchum, let's say again you just inadvertently wander out of your tchum, you have dalar amas. Rabbi Eliezer's position is, how do we measure those dalar amas? Essentially, what we view is you're in the middle of those dalar amas, and you have two amas in each direction, right? Assuming a person occupies two amas, you have, right? You're in the middle of those dalar amas. Let me leave that out. You're in the middle of those dalar amas, and therefore you could choose which direction they go into. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, if you go ahead and you wander two amos out of your tchum, you're fine. You're fine. You can go back in. Why? Because your personal space of two amas will allow you entry back into your tchum. We view you as being situated in the middle of your dalar amas, and therefore you have two amas in every direction. But if you wander three amas out, then what? Then halacha lamaisa, you can't get back into your tchum. So Rabbi said, listen to this. My love, Rabbi Eliezer Tamei Da'amar, v'hu be'emtzon. So Rabbi said, it must be Rabbi Eliezer holds that in general, when you're given dalet amas, we view those dalet amas as if you're standing in the middle of them, and therefore you have two amas in every direction you want. So the Gemara says, v'arba amas di'avili rabbani k'man di'mivlo'an dami, v'ka'amar ikanis. Alma have lost tchum and milsis. Therefore, we'll say, what's the mechanics? So, therefore, halacha lemaisa. Essentially, if I wander two amos out of my tchum, essentially now I have two tchumen. What are the two tchumen? The old tchum I left and my new tchum. And I remember again, my new tchum is very limited in size. How big is my new tchum? Dalet amos. But what ends up happening is two amos of my new tchum. Well, they don't really overlap, but at least they're contiguous with my old tchum, and that allows me re-entry back into my old tchum. So what do you see from here? You see from that Rabbi Eliezer holds, havlos tchumin, that overlapping, or in this case even contiguous tchumin, allow you to re-access the old tchum. Amrli Rabbi Barachana, Amrli Rabbi Barachana la Abaye. So Rabbi Rechana said that by Umid Rabbi Lazar, Kamosis Le Lamar. So are you trying to bring a riot from Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Eliezer against the Rabbi? Amrali in. So to which Abai said, yes, I am. The Shmia Lemine Demar. Because actually, I heard this from Rabbi. Ad Kanlo Pligi Rabban Ali Rabbi Eliezer El Dvarishus. The Rabbi only argue on Eliezer when you wander out of your tchum for a non-mitzvah related matter. And as we'll say, according to the Rabbanon, if you wander out of your tchum, you're out. You're out. Two amas, three amas, doesn't make a difference. One amma, you're out. But when do they argue? They argue ultimately, again, when you left your tchum for, we'll call it, a non-mitzvah related matter. Aval dvar mitzvah, when it comes to a dvar mitzvah, ultimately module. Even the Rabbanon will agree with Rabbi Eliezer that halacha lemaisa, you could use your dalet amos, or in reality, you could use your two amos to re-access your old tchum. Look at Rashi. L'dvar mitzvah module. U'mas nisin dami shiyotza b'rshus dvar mitzvahu. V'ka'amar rabba le'el dahavlo'a lo mahanya. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, so therefore, the rabbi wants to suggest that even rabba would agree in such a situation. So therefore, we'll say, halacha lemaisa. We have a machlokes in the meaning of the Mishnah between Rabba and Rav Simi Bar Chiya. But at the end of the day, the Gemara seems to side with Rav Simi Bar Chiya, teaching me the following halacha, that if I go ahead and I leave my tchum for a mitzvah-related purpose, I leave with permission, and then I find out that I'm no longer needed. So what's the halacha? Chazal gave me a brand new tchum based on where I find out the information that I'm no longer needed. What the Mishnah is coming to teach me is, if my new tchum, my new 2,000 amos, overlap with what? My old tchum of 2,000 amos, that overlapping will allow me to go back to my old tchum. Good. So, v'chal yotzei lahatzel chozer l'mekomon. Furthermore, again, anyone who leaves their place, right? So we'll say, if I leave my tchum on Shabbos for a mitzvah-related purpose, lahatzel literally means to go and save Jews. I hear about a battle, so I go and I go to help fight with the battle. What's the halacha? You are permitted to go back to your home, as it sounds like. You're permitted to go back to your home when you are no longer needed. Vafilu tuva. Now, both saying this is a bit contradictory. Is that saying that even if my home is more than 2,000 amas away, that I am permitted to go back to my home? So the Reisha makes it very clear that after I finish my mission, I'm given a brand new tchum. Now, it sounds like the most you could say is that if my brand new tchum overlaps with my old tchum, that I'm permitted to go ahead and go back home. But Lamaisa, it doesn't sound like I have more than 2,000 amas. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav, Shecholzim B'Klei Zayin L'Mkoman. No. What it means is, Rabbi said, that if I went out to battle, I am permitted to go ahead and bring my weapons home. See, Rabbi said, what the Gemara is teaching me is as follows. I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, once the battle finishes, maybe I have mobility, But Lamaisa, I can't carry my weapons. Or I have to deposit my weapons somewhere. I don't have a license to carry my weapons once the battle is over. So the Gemara says, therefore the Mishnah is coming to teach me that no, Kaliyotzin lahatu chozun l'koman, that you could bring your weapons home as well. In other words, whatever tchum you have to travel, we'll call that 2,000 amis, you could bring your weapons home as well. L'may kushya, dilma lahatzil sheni. So we'll say, so again, what's the issue over here? In other words, maybe when we say that you have 2,000 amas after you finish your mitzvah mission, that's in a regular case. But if you went out to save Jews, maybe halacha l'maisa, you have even a larger area to travel back. Eli kasha hakasha. This nan barishon lohayu zazim misham kol yom kulo. So we'll say we're switching back for just a moment. It's about idus hachodesh. Idus hachodesh. So what happens now? A person went ahead and went to the Beis HaGadol to give testimony about the new moon. So I'll say, what happens when people showed up in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? In the beginning, once you showed up in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that's where you were spending the day, right? They did not let the witnesses move from the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Gamliel Zaken came along and he instituted that, no, they should have mobility. 2,000 amis in every direction. I will say the logic being, Gemara explains, that Rabbi Gamliel felt that people would not come if you limit their mobility to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel gave them was a brand new tchum from the courtyard. For lo elu bilva, not just people coming for testimony for the Kiddush HaChodesh, rather, ela filu chachma ha'or chachma ha'bay leleid, va'ba lahatzel min ha'gayis, min ha'ar, min ha'apos, min ha'dleika, harihin ka'anshia irvishon ha'payim la'am l'chol ruach. And I will say, the Rabbanon extended this to any case where a person leaves his tchum with rishos. So a midwife who goes to help a woman give birth, or someone who hears about Jews being attacked by marauders, or someone who goes to help Jews who are drowning in the river, or from rubble, or from fire, such a person who set out to go ahead and help with a mitzvah mission is given the tchum of the place that he has set out to. So the Gemara says, "I v'sulo, is that it? V'ha amrit kal yotzin lahatzel chozun l'koman." Afilu tuva. So we'll say, but again, it sounds like there's another chiddush as well, which is anyone who goes out to save Jews is permitted to return home. Now that lashon of returning home makes it sound like what? Even if returning home is more than 2,000 amos from your location, you could go back. No, in reality, everyone who leaves on the mitzvah mission is given a brand new, when they find that their mission is complete or the mission has been completed without them, they have a brand new tchum. But that tchum is limited to 2,000 amas. So the most you could travel will be 2,000 amas. Again, going back to the previous sugya, if your new tchum overlaps with your old tchum, perhaps even a bit more. The chiddush over here is that if you set out on a mission to save Jews, a mission to save Jews, halacha l'maaseh, you could bring your weapons back home with you. The havamina is, I would have thought that once the mission is done, you cannot transport your weapons anymore. Kamasha, you could bring your weapons home with you. What's interestingly enough, in the beginning, right, in the earlier iteration of this halacha, if Jews went out to fight a battle to save other Jews from danger, so when they would come back to their city, to their tchum, they would deposit their weapons at the home closest to the wall of the city. So they would not bring the weaponry back into the city because that would be an act of transferring from domains. Pamachos hikiru b'hen oivim. So we'll say one time the Jews thought the battle was over, but it wasn't over. Their enemies recognized that they were weaponless. So what happened? V'ratfu acharehem. And their enemies began to pursue them. V'nichnesu lito klei zaynon. So the Jews in this group of soldiers, this group of warriors, ran back into the home into which they deposited their weapons to retrieve their weapons. And what? V'nichnesu ayvim acharehem. Their enemies entered the home as well. Dachku ze'edze. People began to push each other, trample each other. Vahargu ze'edze yosra shahargu ayvim. And the Jews ended up killing each other through trampling, more than their enemies killed them. But after this episode, the rabbis decreed, shehechozrin lim koman b'kli zaynon. So after this, the rabbis decreed that what? That halacha l'maisa, halacha lemaisa, that when Jews go out to battle, you keep your weapons with you even when you come back home. You don't lay down your weapons. Don't lay down your weapons. If you went out to war, you went out to battle, you bring your weapons back with you. You could bring them back home. So the Gemara says. So again, remember, the way the Gemara is understanding that statement of that you could bring your weapons back home is halacha lemaisa, not telling you that you could try that you could. I'm sorry. When it says that if you go out to war, when you go out to war, that you can go ahead, chozun lekama, you could go back to your place. That's not giving you a license to travel more than 2,000 amas. 2,000 amas is the cap. You get a new tchum, but that's the cap. The novelty is when it says you could go back home is you could bring your weapons back home. And the novelty is because it used to be that once the battle was over, you would deposit your weapons somewhere so as to minimize hotzah, carrying. But then as a result of this episode, Chazal said, you know what? Bring your weapons back home with you. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak has a different resolution. He says, "Lo kasha, kan shenitzchu yisras umos ha'olam, kan shenitzchu umos ha'olam es atzman." So I'll say, interestingly enough, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak wants to give a different resolution. He says, no, there are times that you could travel more than 2,000 amos after a battle. He explains as follows. If the Jews were successful in the battle, then halacha lemaisa, they are limited to a tchum of 2,000 amas. If the Jews were not successful, the Jews were defeated in battle, then halacha lemaisa, they are given even a larger tchum. How big of a tchum? As large as you need to get back home. So we'll say, so obviously, this can't be talking about a situation of acute sakarnas nefashis. Because if it's acute sakarnas nefashis, there's no tchum at all. But it's saying is, if you're victorious in battle, after the battle's finished, you have a tchum of 2,000 amas. If you weren't victorious, you have a tchum as large as you need in order to get back home. So we'll say, if Gentiles lay siege to a Jewish city, you cannot go out with weapons on Shabbos to fight them. We'll see the parameters of this. Shabbos came Mechal Shabbos to fight Gentiles who are laying a siege to a Jewish city. That supports this. Nachrim Shetzaru. We'll say, when is this so? Shebo'u al iske mamon. Rebbe will say, that is true when the Gentiles are here because of money. So we'll say, if it's a money issue, you cannot go to war on Shabbos. However, if Al-Bal iske nefashis, Rebbe will say, if it's clear that their intentions ultimately again are to wage battle and take life, then yotzin aleihem bichlei zayin, you can go out with weapons, umechalin aleihem as Shabbos, and you can be mechal Shabbos. So Rebbe will say, which of course, that's not a novel ruling. The novel ruling is, interestingly enough, that sometimes when people come, Rebbe will say, Chazal operate under the assumption that if the Nochrim are coming because of money, it's not in their best interest to kill anyone, because they want their money. So therefore, there's no sakanas nefashis when they're coming for money. But the moment that there's an element of sakanas nefashis, you go out with weapons, you mechal Shabbos, do whatever you need to do. Ubiras mucha l'saper, but we'll say if it's a city that's next to the border, so we'll say if you can imagine, if this is like a border city of Eretz Yisrael, then afilu lo ba'ol al eskei nefashis ala eskei tevin v'kash, yotzen alein v'chlizan mechalin ha'Shabbos. We'll say, interestingly enough, when it comes to a border city, every threat to a border city is considered to be mortal danger. It's considered to be nefashis, which makes sense because border cities are the first line of defense for Eretz Yisrael. If a border city falls, that puts everyone else in danger. So if a border city is under siege, even if it sounds like the reason the Nachrim are there is for money, you can go out, you could fight on Shabbos. Amar of Yosef Barmin Yumi, Amar of Nachman, Ubavel Kiras Mucha L'Saper Dama. Bavel is like a border city. Bavel, V'tirgama Narda. We'll say Narda is like a border city, because apparently Narda on one side bordered Gentile cities, but on the other side was the gateway to Jewish habitation of Bavel. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, if there was a siege on Narda, even if it's for money, you go out and you fight on Shabbos. So this is actually very interesting, because what you see from this Gemara is what? Is that apparently Jews were ready to engage in armed conflict in diaspora as well. It's actually really, really quite fascinating. So apparently the Gemara is saying, if Nardoz under attack, Nardoz under siege, Jews rise up. So which is interesting, because again, I understand the Eretz Yisrael, but what it's saying over here is even in the diaspora community, Jews were armed and Jews were ready to protect their cities. Darash Rabbi Dostoy Dimin Biri, my dichsiv. What's the meaning of the pasuk that says, "Va'agid lo David leimar hinei plishtem nilchom bekiila"? They mashosim as hagranas. So the Rebbe said they told David that the plishtim, the Philistines, are waging battle in Keila. Keila was a city, and they are pillaging the threshing floors. So Tani Keila yiras mucha l'sapra. He said Keila was a border city. V'heim lo bo ela iske teven. Now the pasuk is explicit. The plishtim did not come to kill people. What did they come to do? They came to steal grain. So now Keila was a situation of a border city under attack for monetary purposes. The Gemara says, V'ksev v'yesh al dover v'ashan l'mor ha'ilich v'kis yesel b'shtam ha'ila. And Dara Melech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should I go out to war or not? V'yom HaShem al dover l'ich v'kis yesel b'shtam ha'ashad as Keila. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, go, smite the plishtim and save Keila. My kami boyle. So what was David asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you want to say that David was asking, am I permitted to go to war against the Plishtim in Keila? Hari base dino shel Shmuel haramasi kayim. You will say, can I go out to war? Is not a question you ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a question you ask of the Sanhedrin. So Shmuel Hanavi is alive. The Sanhedrin is intact. So let him ask Shmuel. Rather, ella imitzlach ilo mitzlach. Rather, he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will I be successful or not if I do go to war? And you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go out to war against the Plishtim, and you will save Keila Shvaminas. Both say, what's the point of this Gemara? You see from here that David HaMelech was willing to go out to war and obviously risk his soldiers' lives to go ahead and neutralize a financial threat. Why was he willing to do that? Because Keila was a border city. Keila was a border city. So you see from here that even when there's just a financial threat to a border city, you take up arms. Tosfos discusses, again, we don't know that this case actually occurred on Shabbos. We don't know that it occurred on Shabbos. But Lamaisa, what I do know is, if you're willing to put soldiers' lives at risk, that means it's important. So even though it's quote-unquote just about money, because it's a border city, halacha Lamaisa, You go to war and you put lives at risk. Says the Mishnah. What's the incredible Gemara? Says the Mishnah. Mishya Shabadera for Amar. What's the interesting case? If someone went ahead and was traveling on Erev Shabbos. Now I will say, now the case over here is it sounds like he's traveling to a particular city. On Erev Shabbos, he sits down for a bit to rest. And what happens? He doesn't realize that he's well. Mishia Shavu Derech VaAmar VeRa Hari Hu Samach LeIr Hov LaHaisa Kavanas LaKach LaYikanes VeRemeir. So let's listen to this. So the case in question is as follows: I'm traveling on Erev Shabbos to City A, and what happens? I sit down to rest a bit on Erev Shabbos, and before I know it, it's Shabbos. I get up; it's already Shabbos, and I realize, oh, I'm within the tchum of City A. Now I did not realize I was in the tchum as of Erev Shabbos. Someone says to the Shaila, what does that mean? So Rabbi Meir says, it means nothing. I can't go into the city on Shabbos. Why not? Because I never had any type of awareness to establish a Makum Shvisa within the Tchum of the city. Rabbi Huda says, no. Rabbi Huda says, Halacha Lama, Rashi says, so therefore again, Rashi says that halacha lemaisa, according to Rabbi Meir, I have 2,000 amos from the place that I sat down on Erev Shabbos, but even though those 2,000 amos might end inside of the city, I do not have the tchum of the city. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yikanis. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you are permitted to enter into the city. Rabbi Yehuda says, sounds to me that Rabbi Yehuda's logic is that halacha lemaisa, if I established a makom shvisa within the tchum of the city, even though I did not know it was within the tchum of the city, halacha lemaisa, I become like one of the residents of the city. I can get to the city. I can get, because the city is now within 2,000 amos, and I have the full tchum like the residents of the city as well. So the Gemara says, Yehuda, Ma'isa Hayim V'nichnas Rabbi Tarfon below Miskaven. But say one time there was a story where this happened to Rabbi Tarfon. He sat down to rest on Erev Shabbos, not realizing he was in the 2,000 Amos of the city, and he ended up going into the city and becoming like one of the residents of the city on Shabbos. Says the Gemara Tanya, Amrei Yehuda Ma'isa Rabbi Tarfon Shemalach B'derech. So now the Brisa fills in the rest of the story. One time Rabbi Tarfon was traveling on the road. V'chashchalo V'lon Chutz La'ir. And I will say what happened. It became Shabbos, and he set up his makom shvisa outside of the city. Now the case of it is Rabbi Tarfon did not realize that he was within the tchum of the city. So what happens? L'shachris matzo roi bakar. The next morning, some shepherds saw him. Amar lo Rabbi, hari ha'ir lefanecha hikanes. Rabbi, you're within 2,000 amos of the city. Go into the city. Nichnas v'yashav beis medrash. Rabbi Tarfon went into the city. He went into the beis medrash. V'darash kol hayom kulo. And he gave shir the entire day. So we'll say from here, Rabbi Yehuda says, you see that even if you inadvertently establish your makom shvisa within 2,000 amas of the city, you are treated like a resident of the city. You're permitted to enter, and you have the whole tchum of the city. That story is not a good proof. First of all, sham believe ha'isa. First of all, Rabbi Tarfon did know. Maybe he did know, and therefore maybe he had in mind that when he establishes makom shvisa on Erev Shabbos, that he was within 2,000 amos of the city. He had in mind that he was going to the city. Furthermore, Beis Medrash muvla besoch tumahaya. Or for all you know, the Beis Medrash that he darshened in the entire day was within 2,000 amos of his makom shvisa. So we'll say, this is actually a very important halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, or the Shulchan Aruch, says as follows. Misha haya baba derech likhanis leir. The Yashav Baderech Lanuach. So we'll say a person's traveling. Now, the Shulchan Aruch's case is a very specific one. I have intention to go to city A. I sit down to rest on Erev Shabbos, and it gets dark. It gets dark. V'lo yodo shehu b'tchum ha'ir, v'acher kach matza aso b'tchumo, kana shavisa b'ir, v'nichnas l'socho b'shabbos, v'mahalich eskula v'chutz la'apayim amalucho ruach. So it's a very interesting distinction. So Shulchan Aruch says, everything depends on your intention. So if my intention was to travel to city A, and it turns out that I rest on Erev Shabbos, and I'm within the Tchum, I didn't know I was in the Tchum. But nevertheless, since my intention was to travel to that city, since if I'm in the Tchum, I become like a resident of the city, and have the Tchum of the city. But if it wasn't my intention to travel to city A, and I established the Makom Shvisa on Erev Shabbos, and after the fact I find out, I'm within the Tchum of city A, that does not give me the Tchum of that city. I have 2,000 Amos from the actual place where I established my Makom Shvisa. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. Mi she yashin baderech v'lo yada shechasheich alo. So let's listen to this. I fall asleep on the road. So what's talach? And I sat down to rest for a moment on Erev Shabbos. So this is a continuation. In the previous Mishnah, what happened? In the previous Mishnah, I just sat down to rest. In this Mishnah, what happened? I sat down to rest and I fell asleep. It was an incredible, incredible Musar. Sometimes, if you stop moving in life, you just fall asleep. Sometimes, if you just sit down, what begins as a momentary rest could span a very long time. It could span an entire Erev Shabbos. It could span sometimes, Chas v'Shalom, an entire lifetime. Sometimes you just sit down to rest for a moment, and before you know, you've slept life away. So the Gemara says, Mishi Yashin Baderech V'lo Yodah Shechasheicha. Someone sat down to rest, he fell asleep, and he woke up after Shabbos. Watch that. What's the halacha? Yesh Alpayim Amos L'Churo after Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says, he has 2,000 Amos in every direction. Okay, so in other words, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says, even sleeping, so we'll say, remember again, in this case over here, Lav Dafka, my intention was to establish a Makom Shvisa. My intention was to sit down for a few moments and then continue on. I fell asleep. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says, not a problem. Still, you acquired a Makom Shvisa. Therefore, you have 2,000 Amos in every direction. The Chum say, no, Ein Lo Ela Arba Amos. The Chum say, no, you only have 4 Amos. You don't have 2,000 Amos. You have 4 Amos. And I will say, what's the logic? The Chacham's logic is, you were asleep. So because I was asleep, I never had intention to acquire a Makom Shvisa. So therefore, without intention to acquire Makom Shvisa, the most I have is Dalet Amos. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Behu Be'emtzas. And Rabbi Elazar says, and by the way, or Rabbi Elazar says, those Dalet Amos that you have, we view you as you being in the middle of those Dalet Amos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Li Ezer Ruach Sheyirta Yelech. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. When you have Dalet Amos, you could apply those Dalet Amos in any direction you want. Umod Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Shem Birer Lo, that once you choose which direction you want your Dalet Amos to go in, Eino yochel lachzer, but you cannot retract and apply them in a different direction. Hayu shnayim miktzas amosov shalzeh b'soch amosov shalzeh. Let's say if you have two people standing next to each other on Shabbos, each of them have dalet amos, and what happens? Right, they have overlapping dalet amos areas. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says zeh b'soch amosov shalzeh. So let's say it's a very simple case. So Reuven, if Reuven and Shimon are standing within two amas of each other, then essentially they have overlapping dalet amas. So in that area of shared dalet amas, they could go ahead and they could eat together, they could give stuff to one another because they have overlapping dalet amas. Ubilvad amud beis, ubilvad shelo yotzi zeh mitoch shelo losok shel chavero. We'll say provided that neither takes something from the non-overlapping areas and transfers it to his friend. Gemara says, Hayu shlosha, then try to move them. Even if you had three guys, right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi. And again, so we'll say they're arranged Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Like, imagine they're arranged in a straight line. And let's say again, Shimon is in the middle. His Dalet Amos overlaps with Reuven and Levi. Hu mutar imayim v'hei mutar nimo. So he could go ahead and give stuff back and forth with each of them, with Reuven and Levi on the sides, right, in the overlapping areas, and they could give stuff to him. V'hei mutar nimo u'shnei machitur masurum zem zeh. Rabbi said, but obviously, Reuven and Levi, the two outer ones, don't have the ability to transfer anything between the two of them. Amar Rabbi Shimon, lemad dav domer. To what can this be compared? L'shalosh chatzeros apsuchos zulazu. We'll say like three chatzeros. Imagine a straight line, three chatzeros that are open to each other. Upsuchos l'shusrabim, and they are also open to l'shusrabim. Erev u'shtayim l'msayos. If the two outer ones made an eruv with the middle one, himu teres imayim. So the middle chatzer could carry to the two outer chatzeros. Vehin mutaris imo. And similarly, again, the two outer chateres could carry into the middle chater, u'shtayim achitonios asurim zo inzo. But the two outer chateres, Rabbi said, cannot carry to each other. Beautiful. So, by Rava. So, Rabbi said, let's go back for just a moment. So remember again, in the first case, I sat down to rest on Erev Shabbos. I fell asleep. I wake up now after Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, not a problem. I have 2,000 amis in every direction. Even though I was asleep, I established a makom shvisa. The Chum say, no, you didn't. Makom shvisa requires intent. You didn't have intent. I didn't have intent. And therefore, all I have is dalet amos. So my kasavar, so the Gemara says, by Rav, my kasavar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, mispar kasavar, heftze hefker konin shvisa. So we'll say, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that halacha lemaisa, even ownerless objects acquire makom shvisa. So both say, if ownerless objects acquire makom shvisa, certainly a sleeping person does as well. To which the Gemara says, "Obedino de liflog bekelim." And in reality, we could even have this machlokus regarding utensils. V'ha de miflegi ba'adam. And the only reason why the machlokus was brought up with a person was why? L'hodi'acha kocho de rabbanan. To show us the position of the strength of the rabbanan's position. That even the rabbanan hold that even a person, if he's sleeping, only acquires dalet amos, does not acquire makom shvisa. Because I would have said, according to Rabbanan, since if this person was awake, he would acquire a makom shvisa. Let him acquire makom shvisa even when he's asleep. Kamash malan delo. That Rabbanan holds even when he's asleep, halach lamaisi doesn't acquire makom shvisa. Odilma, kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ba'amel chefze hefker in konin shvisa. Or maybe I would say that maybe not. Maybe chefze hefker do not acquire a makom shvisa. Vahacha haynu taima. And maybe over here the reason is as follows. Since if I was awake, I would acquire a makom shvisa. Therefore, if I'm asleep, I also acquire a makom shvisa. So we'll say, so again, so here's what I know. I know that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that even a sleeping person acquires a makom shvisa. Therefore, when I awake, I have 2,000 amos in every direction. So the shaila is, why? Possibility A is because hefte hefker, even ownerless objects acquire a tchum. Or possibility B is, since if I was asleep, since if I was awake, I would acquire makom shvisa. Therefore, even if I'm asleep, I acquire makom shvisa as well. So let's analyze. I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. Gishamim sheyardu me'erev yamtiv yeshna pa'im amal choruach biyamtiv. I'm sorry. So we'll say if rain falls on erev yamtiv. All right, we'll have to stop over here. We'll stop over here. I think what I'll do is, all right, we'll see. Maybe we'll continue it tomorrow. Either way, we'll stop over here. Either I'll record it and post it a little bit later, or Mirat Hashem, we'll just pick up from here tomorrow. I think we'll just pick up from here tomorrow, Mirat Hashem. Shkarach Abosai.